Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go.
Happy Friday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour lunar eclipse limbo. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Jacksonville to Jersey, Kalamazoo and Waterloo, we are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. With every score change during Super Bowl 55, someone wins $50,000 in the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free at RocketMortgageSquares.com. We made it, everybody. We made it to another weekend. We made it to another NFL playoff weekend. Yes! It is here, divisional round weekend, oftentimes cited as the best football weekend of the year. Four games, the final eight teams, two Saturday, two Sunday, and we will break them all down this morning on the show. Now, who is going to be our special guest this morning to do so? How about one of the members of the NFL's all 100th anniversary team? This guy was a character and had personality back when you were not supposed to have either of those things on the football field. It was all business all the time. Billy White Shoes Johnson is going to join us. He of the Funky Chicken back in the 70s and 80s was one of the greatest special teams ace returners in NFL history, a member of the 75th anniversary team and the NFL's 100th anniversary team. Billy White Shoes is going to be joining us coming up here on the show in hour number four. It is a Friday, which means it's a Target Demo Friday, which means when you see the DA Show meme, and we will describe that to you coming up shortly, you can let us know where you are, how you're listening, and what you're doing this football weekend, how you're watching the games, and I'll read through those coming up in hour number four. The Jaguars and the Jets have a new head coach. We'll talk about that. We've got Brady and Breeze as well to talk about coming up this weekend. Can the Browns pull the upset at Arrowhead Stadium? Some believe they can. We've also got Lamar Jackson versus Josh Allen. Could that be the best quarterback matchup of the weekend? And Aaron Rodgers on a very interesting reason why he has taken his game to the next level. Perhaps quarantine was a good thing for him. Plus, if you had $5 million to spend on a baseball card, which card would it be? That happened yesterday. All of that coming up this morning on the show. As always, you can join us at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227 or on Twitter, DA on CBS. But let's begin in Brooklyn, where the Nets now have their big three, and it is official. James Harden is a member of the Nets, And now we finally have the parts of the puzzle who are going to speak about the puzzle. Namely, the GM that pulled the trigger, Sean Marks, who came to the Brooklyn Nets to clean up the incredible mess that was left behind by Billy King in the previous administration, especially after that Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett trade, has done just about everything right. Sean Marks was able to very, very smartly and with savvy absorb terrible contracts, in return pick up draft picks, in return pick up guys that couldn't be afforded by their previous team, rehabilitate them like a D'Angelo Russell, turn them into assets, and little by little by little, build it back up to a very reputable organization. Also, he oversaw the construction of one of the best practice facilities in all of the NBA. So the Nets struck it rich, struck gold with Sean Marks as their GM. But now his entire existence is on the line because there's no room for error here. Once you pick up James Harden to add to KD and Kyrie Irving and you rip away all of the young pieces and all of the draft picks, you got to win. And if you don't win and it implodes, then that's the blood on your hands. Let's face it, if this thing goes sour, Sean Marks will be blamed and the Nets organization will be back to being a punchline. The first part of that is these three stars have to buy in that so much is on them, reputations, legacies, jobs, so much is on them. They have to understand what's at stake and they can't be immature or petulant or dismissive of their responsibilities. Do we trust that the Nets stars have bought into this idea? It is where we begin your cold open.
We've had conversations with him and you know he's so eager to get on the court with these guys and be part of this and start fresh. So there's an excitement. I know our group is excited. Our coaching staff is excited. I spoke to Kai and Kevin yesterday as this was going down, getting their thoughts and really wanting to hear, you know, what their commitment was going to be, what their conviction for this was. And, you know, I know Joe Tsai had the same conversation.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
And that is Sean Marks. I mean, frankly, I don't have faith that all these guys understand truly what is at stake and what they need to do because they've all shown in the past some real flaws when it comes to leadership and comes to stability and comes to professionalism. Out of all of them, I trust Kevin Durant most because he's seen it and been part of it. What he walked into with the Warriors organization was true accountability. They were stars that understood what was at stake, understood their responsibilities, and understood what it took to get through the crucible of the NBA Finals and playoffs with a lot of intensity and urgency around them and scrutiny. And you become hated. I mean, the Warriors quickly became hated. Shortly after finally winning, they were the darlings of the NBA when they won their first championship. And then soon thereafter, remember when they went for 73 wins and got it, and then it was Draymond Green kicking LeBron James to the NBA Finals. They were very in short order. They became vilified. And then certainly when they added Kevin Durant, many, many people, including many former players, were rooting against them openly. So at least Kevin Durant knows what that looks like, what that feels like. But we know that KD has been ultra sensitive to people that just frankly don't matter. I mean, lashing out at teenagers on Twitter and Instagram shows a real lack of perspective. And so a lack of perspective there makes you wonder about a lack of perspective here. As far as Kyrie Irving, I mean, look, how can you possibly trust that he understands what needs to work here, what needs to happen? Yes, he was part of it in 2016 when the Cavs finally got over the top, but that feels like eons ago in Kyrie Irving land because that was also Kyrie who was following LeBron, and now Kyrie is going to be counted on to be part of the solution. And we've only seen him seemingly get more and more bizarre and strange and unpredictable since that point in time. Since 2016, he fought his way out of town in Cleveland, took shots at LeBron James, was a failed disaster in Boston with the Celtics, didn't play at all last year with the Brooklyn Nets, barely. When he did, he said we needed more help and refused to go to the bubble and then wanted to go to the bubble, and now it's just flat out MIA. You can't feel like we're closer to the Kyrie Irving that will buy in. And for James Harden, the one thing you could say about Harden is he's always healthy. He is always there. He's always present. He is available. 10 years, he's basically not missed any games. So Harden should be available. But let's just go ahead and say that the Nets go through a 10-game stretch where they end up at 4-6 or 5-5. And the offense isn't really smooth, and James Harden's kind of dribble, stop, draw a foul, throw it up, go to the free throw line isn't quite working. And he's averaging, I don't know, 19 points a game, and they've lost 6 of 10. Is James Harden going to understand the sacrifice? Is James Harden going to be okay at that point, smoothing the waters and making sure his other guys get shots, that it's not about his points, it's not about his numbers? Is he going to be okay with that? Because we just saw James Harden manipulate that roster time and time again, and then finally, at the end of it, shoot his way out of town by quitting on his team. The talent is obvious from these three guys, but the buy-in isn't. And that's my concern about the Nets. There's going to be tough times. There's going to be a Game 6 or a Game 7 of the NBA playoffs. Do these three guys, are they going to allow themselves to get to the same page, to put their ego aside and play for one another and the team? Or are they going to fall back on some really bad habits that they've all shown in their careers? That's what I don't trust. I think right now the Nets players, the big three, are saying the right things. When push comes to shove and there are difficult situations, I don't trust that these three guys understand the bigger picture and will all buy in when it's really tough. It's a concern. Your phone number is 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. Mraz is a lifelong Nets fan dating back to their New Jersey Nets days. Mraz, yesterday you said you're all in on the trade. You like the trade. You support the trade. Has your feelings changed at all in the last 24 hours, having heard some of these guys talk and dissecting it a little bit deeper?
Just a little more nervous than excited, because now it's closer to actually seeing it happen. And also just hearing that Sean Marks had conversations with Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant yesterday about Harden buying in just, again, adds that other layer of, well, where the heck is Kyrie and why are we now having conversations about James Harden with him? Shouldn't we only be having conversations about Kyrie with him? But ultimately, I get all of your concerns, and I think those are totally on the table and totally should be understood. But in the last run here of 15 years of these big threes and superstar teams, these superstars have figured it out. And Kevin Durant has been a part of it. And it may not have always ended well. Durant left Golden State. Kyrie left Cleveland. But those guys won championships. And even for James Harden's sake, at least for 1 year, he's in a game six where his best running mate gets injured. And we don't know what happens if Chris Paul is healthy. So maybe Harden does end up in an NBA Finals in Houston with Chris Paul. So I've seen these guys at least buy in, and maybe eventually they buy out. But for the initial surge here of this year or next year, I think they will buy in. I don't think that's a concern yet.
Do you think that with this trade, it triggers Kyrie Irving to come back, that this is something that'll shake him out of whatever he's in and it'll make him feel excited to come back and play?
If he doesn't, then I need to know exactly what was said to Sean Marks yesterday. My assumption is, based on Sean Marks' comments, that, yeah, this is triggering him to come back. And maybe this is Durant calling Kyrie, hey, I came here after you came here. Get your ass back here. Because if the general manager is having conversations with both of those guys, and the conversation as a result is they're all in and bringing Harden here, and that doesn't trigger him to come back, well, something there is missing in the chain of conversation.
Sean Marks said that he had conversations with both KD and Kyrie, and they were all about bringing in James Harden, and that they understand the sacrifices that will need to be made and that they feel like they can play with James Harden. We'll see. It's a kind of a bizarre basketball setup because James Harden is such a centerpiece of all offensive sets. It oftentimes devolves into him dribbling around the three-point arc until the end of the shot clock, right, and then throwing his body towards the basket and either drawing a foul or getting to the cup. And that's not going to work all that great with a guy like Kevin Durant specifically that needs the ball in his hands and is one of the great scorers. Kyrie, obviously, as a guard and a guy that needs to have the ball in his hand as well, that doesn't necessarily work great. Now, last year with Russell Westbrook, there were the same concerns, and the Rockets were somewhat fine in terms of usage rate, and both those guys had their numbers. I mean, James Harden and Russ also, they were both very productive. So it can work with Harden. Three, though, is different than two. Who do we think has to sacrifice most of his shots out of those three?
Probably Kyrie, which is what scares you a little bit. Because Durant is still the best player on the floor with that team, and wherever he gets his shots, he's going to have it. But I do think that Kyrie, if he could buy in, Kyrie is a better player than James Harden at the other things other than scoring. Does that make sense? Where James Harden needs the ball and needs to score, where Kyrie Irving, with distributing, getting to the rim, rebounding, all of that, Kyrie actually doesn't necessarily have to go out there and score 30 points a game to be a great player for that team. James Harden really does. So the guy, ironically, I think you do need to sacrifice the shots a little more for the team to be at its best is probably Kyrie, but that's also the most questionable mental case on the team to do that.
It is a Target Demo Friday. You are donning a T-shirt or a sweatshirt that says -6.5. Tell me about this.
Well, this was Danielle, after all my up the gut picks and my run, she for Christmas got me this T-shirt, a nice little, hey, if you're going to sit there and blow our money and blow our mortgage every week, I might as well get you a shirt for the show for up the gut on Fridays. So we're rocking the -6.5 sports gambling T-shirt.
Okay, so I get that it's a gambling reference, -6.5. Is it a specific line? Is there any
no.
Connection to any game?
No, this is not a connection to any game. That would be ironic if I could have it printed out knowing the exact line on a Friday.
I thought maybe it was a big game that you won a lot of money on or something like that, or a historic line of a big game.
I wish I had a better story for you other than she just picked the shirt. Apparently they had a bunch of different number combinations with spreads on it.
Wow.
So I thought it was kind of cool.
Okay. So they were just, there was a +4.5. There was a -3.5.
I guess. I didn't pick it out. I opened up. I liked the shirt. So we're rocking it for Up the Gut here today.
Well, coming up here next, Mraz has his Up the Gut NFL picks. He's been very, very hot over the last month and a half. Can he continue in the divisional round? He'll give you his picks with the lines next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Puffiness with football. Mraz gives you his NFL picks every week. It's Up the Gut, only on the DA Show.
Remember, you can listen to the DA Show and the rest of CBS Sports Radio by telling your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Have us around in the house, not only mornings, weekday mornings, Monday through Friday for the DA Show, but Sunday morning football as well. I'll see you at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific on Sunday to react to Saturday's NFL action and preview Sunday's NFL action. Tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Mraz was white hot with his NFL picks up until last week. What was the record that you had going into last week after the end of the regular season?
It was 15-2-1 in the last 18 games I had picked. So I guess that would be the last 6 weeks.
15-2-1. You had multiple perfect weekends.
Right.
This is all against the spread. 15-2-1. You were absolutely crushing it. Last weekend, though, a fall back to mediocrity. 1-1-1. 500 week. You're not winning any money at 1-1-1. So,
right,
do you think that the playoffs might have solved your riddle that you just can't figure out the playoff line?
Well, let's just understand this. There's a less of a sample size to pick three games a week out of, Damon, and less of a sample size, so I got to be a little sharper, and I'm ready to do that this week.
Rams and Packers is where we begin at Lambeau Field. The Los Angeles Rams will start Jared Goff. John Wolford has been ruled out of this game with a neck injury. That means Goff is going to get the start again, which is weird. You'd think it'd be the opposite way, where we talk about Goff's health and whether Wolford's going to have to play. But this is where we are with the Los Angeles Rams. And at Lambeau, warm weather Rams, Jared Goff still not 100%. Mraz is looking at the points. Rams plus 6.5. Why?
Well, now I know why the 6.5's on my shirt. Let me just say this. Every betting trend will tell you to go with Green Bay here, and we're going to talk about Aaron Rodgers a little bit later on in the show. The Packers are 10-4 against the spread versus a team with winning records this year, and Aaron Rodgers has been sacked just 20 times this year, but remember, they are very beat up along the offensive line, so much so that they were signing Jared Valdir, who now is out due to COVID in this game. They're going to be banged up along
the front. So the guy that played for the Colts last week in the playoffs, who was signed this week for the Packers in the playoffs because of COVID protocol this year, is now out because of COVID.
Is now out because of COVID, correct. So this is a little bit of a flimsier offensive line than we saw all year with Green Bay. And I think much like I thought last week, I took the Rams. I thought they would beat Seattle. They did beat Seattle. I know that Goff can't look the way he did last week and hope to flutter a couple balls up there that Cooper Kupp comes down with. But I think where this game is going to be won is defense travels in the postseason. And Aaron Donald is banged up himself. But I think the Rams' defensive front is going to get after it here and make this a living nightmare for Green Bay. And also, Green Bay's biggest bread and butter situation here is getting that ball to Devontae Adams. Well, this is why the Rams traded a hefty price and signed a big price for Jalen Ramsey, is to take away number one wide receivers. And he pretty much muffled DK Metcalf a week ago. I think you're going to see a similar performance from Jalen Ramsey. And I think the Rams go into Green Bay. I'm going to take the 6.5. It's a big number. I'm probably too big a chicken to take the money line. But I think they shocked the Packers, and Aaron Rodgers does not host an NFC Championship game at home.
Oh,
matter of fact,
no.
I think we're setting the table here, D.A.
Oh, no.
And I'm not going to pick this game. My three games will not include the Saints and Bucks. I think we're setting the table here for Drew Brees to try to get back to the Super Bowl by exacting revenge on these Rams in an NFC Championship game, the same one we saw from 2 years ago. Give me the Rams. That's a big number of 6.5. And if I have any stones when I wake up tomorrow morning, I'm going to take the Rams on the money line to win the game outright.
Oh, no. You believe that a number one seeded Aaron Rodgers Packers team could go one and done again, just like 2011 when they were 15-1?
I just think this is a very bad matchup defensively versus their offensive front this game, and I think that could wreck the game.
Donald will play in this game. He left last week's game with injury. Ravens and Bills is next up. Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen from Orchard Park in New York. Also, an underdog pick for Mraz. Mraz likes the Ravens plus 3.
I do like the Ravens plus 3. I actually think this is probably going to be the most fun game of the weekend. And my gut, big old gut we got here.
Yeah.
I think we're looking a little overtime Saturday night. Now, I think the game is that tight. How do I not grab the points here with the dog Ravens? I think they also possess the better defense. I talked about this all throughout my Up the Gut column. While both offenses are running really well and playing electric, and both quarterbacks got to be feeling good coming off their first playoff wins, the Bills have been hot. Look, they're 8-1 against the spread in their last 9 games. They've won 7 games in a row. But the Ravens are also 5-0 against the spread the last 5 games. They are underdogs. Lamar Jackson feeling a little swagalicious right now. Mm. I think they're going to run the ball right down the Bills' throats. I think this game is going to be tight. And I think if I'm getting overtime, then it becomes a coin flip. I'm going to grab the points with the underdog Ravens here and think that they find a way to go play the Chiefs in an AFC title game.
Don't you mean that the Ravens run the football down their throats?
Down their throats. Down their throats.
And finally, Chiefs and Browns. Now, this is interesting. You took the points with the underdog in the first 2 games. And then you're looking for a blowout with the Chiefs and the Browns. Kansas City laying 10 points in this game. Double-digit line to the divisional round of the playoffs. Very, very rare. You like the Chiefs by more than 10.
10 points! They're laying 10 points, D.A.
Yeah.
That's a lot of points. And I know the Browns are the feel-good story of the week. And I know just a week ago we were talking about the big number with the Bucks-Washington game. And luckily I got in on it at 8, because if you had 8.5, you couldn't even push, you didn't even cover. And all year, dogs and big numbers have basically covered. Ask the Jacksonville Jaguars. They were all about it whenever they were a big underdog. The Jets found themselves in those positions. I think what I'm just leaning on here is the Kansas City Chiefs went into every postseason game a year ago, and they got pushed around early. I mean, look at the Texan game. They were down in the blink of an eye. We thought, oh, no, are they going to lose this game? Titans, they trailed early. The Super Bowl, they trailed early. They're a properly coached team, obviously, with Andy Reid. You know that Patrick Mahomes is the best player on the planet, and they understand the circumstances here and the pressure on them that comes with repeating. I think coming off a week off, in most of the Chiefs players' cases, 2 weeks off because they didn't play in Week 17, I do not think they will allow to happen what happened last year, especially knowing how the Browns just jumped on the Steelers early last week. I think the Chiefs get up early and often this game, and I think this is a long goodbye for the Cleveland Browns on Sunday afternoon. And I think the Chiefs end up finding a way to win this game by, let's say, by 17 points or so. I think we have a fun weekend, but this game's a snooze fest Sunday afternoon. Give me the Chiefs saying goodbye to Cleveland.
A long goodbye. So you think this is 3 hours of torture for Browns fans?
Yeah, I think you get a couple, maybe a Sammy Watkins touchdown here, a Tariq Hill touchdown here, and we're looking at something where it's like 21-7 at the half, and it's goodnight the lights in the second half.
Finally, 10 points! Finally, it's the football food of the week, oftentimes made by Moose on the Instagram page Up the Gut, except for last week, which has become slightly controversial. We'll discuss coming up further. However, the football food of the week for Mraz coming up this weekend for divisional round weekend. With the bacon, cheeseburger empanadas. Mraz, how do bacon cheeseburger empanadas work?
You know, empanadas are such a joy and such so underappreciated. And if they made their way into the Up the Gut column before, a buffalo chicken here, a barbecue chicken here, heck, an Oreo here. I love an empanada. You go to your local grocer, either you can get your empanada shells or you can get some juicy pastry puff crust that those folks at Pillsbury make. Oh, so delightful. But forget the crust for a second because you can go check out that link and the recipe at Up the Gut. The real impact of an empanada is obviously after it cooks, you get a little flakiness. You get a little crunch.
Yeah.
You get a little burst that goes into your mouth with every bite just dancing right there on the old lips. But inside that empanada, what comes out, it's like the empanada gives birth, D.A.
Oh.
You all of a sudden, you're out there, the doctor's yelling, cut the cord, cut the cord. Yeah. And here you are, you're getting that ground beef, that good chuck that goes with a cheeseburger, however high a quality you want to go with. You're getting that bacon chopped up. You're getting maybe a little bit of chopped onion in there. If you're a pickle eater and I'm not, maybe a little chopped pickle as well. Then you get yourself maybe a little Russian dressing, maybe a little ketchup, whatever your favorite cheeseburger little marinade is. You dip that in there. So now just picture, instead of biting into a bun that maybe was half left out for too long, the impactful crunch and flakiness of that empanada dancing with you, and then the bursts of the cheese and the bacon and the onion and the pickle and everything that comes with the bacon cheeseburger that we've grown to love, but just ground up and chewed up into this great masterpiece. You tell me, D.A., as you're sitting there and you're seven lagers in and you're watching the Ravens and Bills shoot it out, wouldn't you love to grab a bacon cheeseburger empanada and pop it in your throat? I know I would. That's your football food of the week.
Yes, I would. All of that sounded pretty good except for the giving birth part. That immediately had me lose my appetite.
All right, so maybe I'll reword that. We'll rework that. I didn't write the giving birth part in the column, so if you want to erase that from your memory and read it at CBSSportsRadio.com, it's not there.
Mraz is Up the Gut picks and his football food of the week recipe available at CBSSportsRadio.com, and that is your Up the Gut. Now, there's some controversy that's brewing here on the show because last week, Bogish gave you the football food of the week, which was sweet potato nachos. Essentially, the tortillas in a nacho platter would be made out of sweet potatoes. A delicious idea, sweet potato fries or sweet potato discs. However, Moose from Up the Gut did not make this football food of the week last week, nor posted on Instagram for a review. And so we are wondering what happened the 1 week where Andrew Bogish gave us a winner and gave you a winning recipe was just ghost town from our listener Moose. Now, Mraz, do we have any further clarification on this? And have we heard Moose reach out to you since you guys addressed this on the PGP?
No, and usually Moose does because I'm not going to throw this all on Moose's platter. I can't believe I'm calling him Moose. Moose's platter here.
Yeah.
Because
well,
Moose,
his name is Moose.
Moose, as great and as dedicated as he is to the page, there have been sporadic weeks where he doesn't get to it, and it's not like I'm living with Moose. Me and Moose aren't roommates. I don't know where Moose is. I don't know why Moose didn't make the food. A Moose... A sporadic week, listen, you missed some kind of dip I gave you. That's fine. You missed some kind of weird pig in a blanket I gave you. That's fine. But when I give you Andrew Bogish's first ever football food of the week, I mean, there's some expectations to be made. And I will say this, Adam Moose in the Up the Gut Instagram page, he's aware of the PGP. He's a fan of the show. I'm sure even if he hasn't listened to it, other listeners have contacted him about it. And just last night, I see that he posts something. I'm like, oh, great. A day ahead, he's going to get to the Bogish food. And yeah, he's posting the food I didn't even reveal until the show this morning, because CBS Sports Radio posted my column yesterday, so he's completely bypassed it. I need to see these sweet potato nachos made by Moose. It's a terrible job. A real Moose.
Some people might be confused about this Moose character, because we have Mark Melusis, whose nickname is Moose, and he was a host here in this time slot. So people might think that we're talking about Mark Melusis, who is cooking up football food of the week. This is a different Moose. This is a listener Moose. So I feel like we should specify. He's a big Miami Dolphins fan, right?
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
So maybe
yes,
we should call him Miami Moose. I don't know if he's in Miami, but maybe he should be Miami Moose.
I believe he's a Miami Dolphin fan in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think you're right. Maybe
Moose?
Milwaukee Moose. I don't know where in Wisconsin that he is.
Oh, Milwaukee Moose is a good one. Like Milwaukee's best.
But this is not Mark Melusis, but he has been very loyal to the show in making every football food of the week. And the big reason this is interesting is because not only did Bogish finally give us his football food of the week, but it was a huge win. You said that three different people reached out to you and said, I made it, and it was amazing. And that's, I'm guessing, more of a consensus that than you ever get with football food of the week.
You know, I didn't think of it that way, D.A. You're right. Maybe I should be leaning on Bogus. Maybe people are tired of my old shtick and my old act. And
better than a
jump,
dip.
And nobody ever texts me after the foods anymore, and they text me to that. That is kind of a gut-wrenching moment, but you're right. You're right. And I just think for the listeners, seeing it made by the Instagram account that makes so many foods, it's just, we still have time. We could do it. There's two games this weekend. You don't have to just make one food for the whole week. I mean, two days of games.
2 days of games. So this was also a Katie Bogish special. Katie
yes,
gave Andrew the recipe, and then Bogues brought the recipe to you, and then you brought the recipe to the airwaves.
Sure.
So, you know, there's a long lineage here. I feel like, you know, even if Milwaukee Moose doesn't make it, maybe we could have a different listener make it and then post the pictures of it.
But is that fair to Milwaukee Moose? Doesn't he have licensing rights on posting the pictures of the food made?
Well, I kind of wonder if it's like the NFL draft. If you don't get the pick in 15 minutes, then, you know, somebody else steps up to the podium. He didn't do it in a full week. I think somebody else gets to the podium now.
Well, maybe it should just, I don't want to put too much on the Bogus house. Maybe it should just be Katie and Andrew Bogus making it again this weekend and posting the pictures and saying, hey, since Milwaukee Moose missed out, this was our idea. Here's how it looks.
Well, let me jump in, because I did hear from Double M this week.
Oh.
And unfortunately for us, it was not any kind of personal statement about me providing the food of the week. He apologized for not doing it, although he had no reason to apologize. He had far more important things going on, so he missed last week perfectly fine and was not making a judgment, not taking a shot at
me. Oh, he gave you a reason, though?
A general reason that it's, you know, it's between me and Double Moose, me
okay,
and Double M.
All right.
And
well, then
so all things
pass,
are good.
Yeah.
Yeah. No problems here. And if he wants to do it, that'd be great. But all things are good.
Okay. Well, if anybody else wants to take on the science project that is making the Bogish family household
science
sweet potato nachos.
Yeah.
Let
I
us
do
know,
want them again since sharing the recipe. So maybe I will. We will do it this weekend and I'll send a picture out.
So bacon cheeseburger empanadas sound amazing. They don't sound too hard to make either. That's kind of a key to the football food of the week. You want a lot of flavor. You want it to be able to satisfy a number of people. You don't want the labor to be too much. The nachos, the sweet potato nachos, kind of check all those boxes as well. Just off the top of my head, is it you chop up the sweet potatoes into either fries or discs, and then do you bake them or fry them?
We bake them. I guess you could fry them to get them to a crispier state if you want, but we bake them. You cook the meat separately, and then you just everything on top of the potatoes under the broiler to melt it and mesh it all together.
And so then you do some ground beef on the side, or you do your chicken on the side or whatever that you would want to put in the nachos. And then you have, let's say, jalapeno peppers or whatever else you put on your nachos, and then you put them on top of the sweet potato fries. And then you put the cheese on top of that as well, and then throw it in the broiler and let it all melt together. And then when you're picking up the nachos, you're picking up the sweet potatoes, And then that's going to be your vehicle to getting all the nacho goodness.
Yeah, I mean, it's really a blank canvas. You get those sweet potatoes down, and then whatever you want on top of them, you can do. Any kind of protein, any kind of meat, any kind of toppings, and then just mix it all together. I mean, it's perfect.
Mm. Okay, I think we got two winners here. So I'm glad the Milwaukee Moose contacted you, because it would be a great sign of disrespect if he did not explain why.
He also sent me a bonus Stunned to a News to make up for it as well.
Yes, Milwaukee Moose has also turned into Stunned to a News producer, executive producer. Yes. He now has a bigger role.
He works more than Sean.
he also has a bigger role than Shep does here on the show. So.
Thank God. I mean, think about it. He's making the foods and he's giving the Stunned to a Newses. Really, he is.
Really? He's a fifth producer?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Bogues has our headlines. Mr. Bogues, where do we begin?
Guys, two NFL head coaching vacancies closed yesterday. First, it was the Jaguars taking the Urban Meyer plunge. Herb's been off the sidelines since 2018. He inherits, presumably, Trevor Lawrence, a ton of other draft picks, and over $75 million in cap space. Then, right around bedtime for some of us, the Jets hired Niners defensive coordinator Robert Saleh. He had a second interview with them earlier this week, but then met with the Eagles, but gets this job last night. Saleh will somehow have to replace the legendary Adam Gase. And then we have the Falcons reportedly offering their top job to Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith. In Seattle, they are looking for a new defensive coordinator after dumping Brian Schottenheimer over philosophical differences. Russell Wilson said yesterday he had no problem with Shoddy. He would have kept him, but he trusts Pete Carroll and now wants to be part of the process of finding Schottenheimer's replacement.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Unlimited. Now, Mr. Employee.
Diarrhea and poop. Oh. Ugh. Unlimited.
Yep. Entrust that guy with hiring the next OC.
Bogus, were you supposed to fire a clip there?
It's not working again.
Okay, oh, so I saw
was, it is not.
I thought he was just letting us lay out to make fun of diarrhea poop.
I thought so for a second, and then I saw Bogus's face, and I said, wait a minute, I might have missed the cue to laugh that a cut didn't fire.
Hmm. Yeah, cut didn't fire.
No, it played, and Peach drops, somehow were fitting in correctly into the dead spots of Russell Wilson meandering through wanting to help find the next offensive coordinator. So it was working in my ears, because again, I can hear Russ talking, and Unlimited, and poop, I heard all the whole thing.
Oh, I want to hear Russell Wilson bumble his way through.
It was beautifully mixed.
Oh, man, I want to hear him confusingly explain how to hire people at on LinkedIn.
Get me to Friday. Get me an empanada, please. Now.
Diarrhea poop.
I want to hear this clip. This is the greatest tease. We got to get this clip at some point this morning on the show. I can't wait to hear it.
No. No. In the NBA last night, the Rockets played their first game without James Harden last night. A fourth quarter rally got them a 109-105 win in San Antonio. Christian Wood led Houston with 27 points and 15 boards. The Pacers rolled through Portland 111-87. The Sixers down the Heat 125-108. And the Nuggets beat the Warriors 114-104. Tomorrow night's Suns-Pacers game is the 10th game postponed by COVID. Phoenix continues to have less than 8 players available. And finally, some good news for Sean and Yankee Nation. We know they need it. MLB Network says second baseman DJ LeMahieu is re-signing. The details, though, not yet reported. DA, back to you.
All right. Thank you, Bogues. When we come back here on the show, Saints and Bucks, Breeze versus Brady. We'll dissect next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Mornings are hard. Your sports radio show doesn't have to be.
Remy is in Ventura, California, here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's up, DA, and you and Mraz? You guys are a kick in the butt, man. I really enjoy you.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, listen, no problem. Hey.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey. 49 minutes past the hour. The permission granted podcast is out. Check it out. The show about the show within the show. It's available all places you get your podcast. Just simply search permission granted and get its own podcast feed or on the normal DA show podcast feed. This weekend, we have Breeze and Brady. So how should we view this? Well, I think, first of all, we should view it via the lens of appreciation. Because there's no guarantees. These two guys have made it feel like guarantees that they're always in the playoffs, always competing for a championship, always part of really good teams. But that hasn't always been the case for Drew Brees. Brees went three consecutive years without making the postseason. And what Brady is doing at 43 years old, you can't count on that definitely happening again next year. So the first thing to me is this is an appreciation that I have for both of these guys. I know that I have thrown many, many darts at the New England Patriots, rooted against the Patriots openly for many, many years, had meltdowns over the Patriots' wins for many, many years as well. But that does not mean I don't appreciate Tom Brady's greatness, and specifically this year, the fact that at 43 freaking years old, he's still getting it done. Now, Brady and Brees may not be top three or top five quarterbacks anymore, but they're still good enough to get this far, divisional round of the playoffs. They're still good enough to win playoff games, which they both did last week. And that, in and of itself, if you appreciate NFL history, is enough to just appreciate what they are and what they've done, and that we get this matchup. The fact that we get a matchup between a 43-year-old starting NFL quarterback and a 42-year-old NFL starting quarterback is remarkable and may never happen again. See, I'm not one of these guys that believes that this is the new normal and that Brady just set a new bar and that everybody else is going to be doing it, like Patrick Mahomes will play until he's 45. I don't believe that. I mean, we just saw Eli Manning, younger than both these guys, retire. We see Philip Rivers, younger than both of these guys, perhaps retiring this offseason. And we just saw Big Ben Roethlisberger, younger than both of these guys, again, at the end, maybe retiring, maybe one more season. So this is not a new normal for every quarterback. I don't think you're going to see Matt Ryan and Matthew Stafford play until they're 42 or 43. These guys are that special. They are that unique. So that's the first part. It's appreciation. The second part is, this might be the last crack for both of them. I think that Drew Brees is going to retire after the season. That's no great secret. I think all signs point to that. So if Brees loses this game, this is the last game you'll ever see number 9 in New Orleans Saints uniform. And for Tom Brady, he's going to come back and play next year, but you're now at 44 years old. And I know that betting against Brady is a loser's mentality because he just keeps proving you wrong. But let's face it, there's no guarantee that the Buccaneers just cruise right back into the playoffs next year. Gronk has shown and proven to be wildly limited. We don't know what the future of Antonio Brown is because he's Antonio Brown. And the Buccaneers this year had some really bad losses. And there's no guarantee that next year they don't suffer an injury or two, multiple injuries, have a season that is expected to be really good, fall on hard times. You could go 10-6 and miss the playoffs. Just ask the Miami Dolphins. So this, hypothetically, is the last great shot for Tom Brady as well. Now, I don't know if it's a great shot because I think the Buccaneers are not as good as the Saints and not as good as the Packers and not as good as the Chiefs. But you're still in the final eight. You're still in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs. And so there's something to be said for that. And for Brady, the Saints have solved him this year. The Saints had two chances at him and solved them both times. So is this another whimpering playoff exit like we saw last year from Brady against a defense that had his number, the Tennessee Titans? There's a lot here baked into this game, and there's a lot of reasons to be appreciative of getting to see these guys in this spot. When we come back, Jacksonville and the Jets have their new head coaches.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.